So the Jason Rancho is brought to you by Farrah.com. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in the media?
Both Twitter and Media Matters decided yet again to go after Ben Shapiro, who, of course, is heard weeknights from 6 to 9 right here on KTTH. Now, Ben is no stranger to this kind of pretend, completely contrived controversy. This happens to him what feels like at least once every couple weeks or so. Twitter decides to highlight Media Matters, which is a organization of propagandists who want to silence any type of political opposition. They go after people and their livelihoods simply because they disagree with the perspectives that are put out there, and they get especially scared when people start to listen to those perspectives. They do it on national cases. They sometimes do it on local. They came after me once. If you look up my name on the Media Matters website, you will find me come out because they did not like one of the perspectives that I put out there. Now, of course, in Ben Shapiro's case, he is incredibly influential in the conservative movement, especially amongst younger conservatives. That freaks out Media Matters. Freaks them out. They want to be the ones who control the minds of young people. They don't want them hearing the other side because they think, they fear, and they're right to fear this, that once you start to hear the logic of conservative principles and conservative thought, maybe, just maybe, these young voters will say, oh, that actually makes way more sense. I like that. I like what Ben Shapiro has to say. And so they took out of context a comment from his show today. And the funny thing is, even though it was out of context, even in context, it's not bad. It's not what they think it says. They're mad because in this clip, they claim Ben is giving a hard time to people who are working two jobs for a living. Now, the context is that he made a case against government enforcement of the economy, and he was specifically responding to claims being made by certain candidates running for president. But let's just play for you the out-of-context clip that they put out there.
The fact is that if you had to work more than one job to have a roof over your head or food on the table, you probably shouldn't have taken the job that's not paying you enough. That'd be a you problem. Also, it is not true. The vast majority of people in the United States are working two jobs. It just is not true. According to the census statistics, a small but steady number of American workers have more than one job because either they need extra income or because they want to gain more experience or explore different interests. There's a recently released U.S. Census Bureau report, and apparently what it found is that approximately 8.3%, this is as of 2013, so it's actually lower now, 8.3% of workers had more than one job. That was as of 2013. It's a lot lower now. So this notion that there are just tons and tons of people who are working multiple jobs, it is not really true.
That, wow, that's controversial, man.
And they play a long clip, even though they cut off the part where he leads into the clip to make it seem like they're being fair.
Yeah, no, they're totally being fair in that clip. So that's what people are upset about. And the way Twitter decided to talk about it is so disingenuous because they were saying in their little intro to it that it's a you problem if you have to work more than one job. Okay, let's even take... Whose problem is it if you have to work more than two jobs, if not the individual's fault? Now, I know that they want to pretend that Ben is being heartless here. He's not. He's just stating some facts. Again, in context, it didn't sound as bad as they think it sounds out of context. Whose problem is it if you have to work two jobs? Is it my problem? Because I'm not going to do anything about that. I would certainly like to offer you advice on how to get out of that position, but it's not my problem. Is it your problem listening to me right now? If you're listening in, I don't know, Mukilteo, is it your problem that someone's working two jobs? What about the family in, I don't know, Sumner? Is it your? No, it's the person's problem. Now, he's not saying that we don't offer these people help, but what he's responding to, and I remember this, I believe it was Kamala Harris during the first debate. She went on about, in the most disingenuous way, about how there are so many people who are barely scraping by just to pay the rent. They're going to two different jobs. That represents the smallest percentage of the American workforce. It is incredibly small, and yet we pretend that that's big. and that Twitter decides to highlight Jason Campbell, who's specifically a propagandist. He is a researcher, quote unquote, with Media Matters. Why are we featuring them? Would Twitter ever feature, oh, say, Newsbusters or Breitbart and one of their pieces against someone? Of course not. They feature this because they don't like Ben. And originally, they featured Ben Shapiro alongside Steve King, who is a bigoted congressman from Iowa. He is a blight on the Republican Party. Okay? And he was in the news today. We'll get into that story in a bit. And so they showed a photo for this story, which, by the way, they had actual video of Ben making the comment we just played. They chose not originally to put that. They put up the video of Steve King next to Ben, who took that photo, I believe, a decade ago. But they wanted to tie the two together. What they don't say, of course, is Ben Shapiro actually has not just condemned Steve King, not just said he should not be an elected congressperson, not just supports the guy who's running against him in Iowa. He has maxed out donations to the guy trying to defeat Steve King in the upcoming primary. They don't put that out there because this is what they do. This is how they win. This is literally how they try to win. They lie, they deceive, and they use the power of the Twitter platform to do so. And I swear, even though, and I know Ben doesn't want the internet to be governed in any way by the federal government. He does not want to see, nor do I want to see, Twitter get restructured so that it now has to uphold what the federal government wants it to uphold. They're asking for it when they do nonsense like this. When they do nonsense like this, they are basically asking for it. And then when it comes, they're going to scream about, oh, we shouldn't be regulated by the government. This is government overreach. They want that, it seems. Because if they didn't, they wouldn't be so patently dishonest in all of this. They fuel the flames of hatred here. And if they at least were honest in some of the commentary, I can foresee someone listening, even in context to Ben's point, say, okay, here's why I disagree. That's fine. Ben will be the first person to agree that you have every right in the world to disagree. You should have every right in the world to voice your disagreement. What he doesn't like, and you should listen to the show tomorrow because he's going to rip into that. I spent some time talking with Ben earlier today. He's annoyed with this, and he should be annoyed with this. He should be annoyed with this because this is just patently dishonest. And they get away with it because we allow them to get away with it. And right now, we don't really have any power to push back against the power of Twitter, other than to shine a bigger spotlight as best as we can on the truth. And the truth is on our side, not on theirs. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the east side?
So just a quick hit in that I don't know why we said on the east side, because this is...
Because?
I mean...
Yes. There will be planes on the east side from Everett Payne Field. Think about it. I'm right.
I feel like we have a sounder that says Everett or on vacation, which would have worked better than on the east side, because this is a story about Payne Field and a cool thing that's happening out of Everett. But unfortunately,
what's trending in Everett?
See, the cool news was just destroyed by Tom, who, frankly, I feel like you're not in it anymore. I feel like you've given up on this job.
That's disrespectful.
I'm just saying that's how it feels, because you just ruined the cool announcement that starting in November, there are going to be flights now, nonstop daily flights from Payne Field to Spokane.
The east side, yeah.
Yeah. This is good news. I love Payne Field. I've yet to be there, go out of a flight from Payne Field, but I've seen lots of video and friends of mine who have taken Payne Field. And usually they're going to someplace like San Diego or Las Vegas, Portland, something like that. Anything that can get people out of SeaTac is better for everybody else. Because, of course, you're not going to get as many flights or as many deals going from Payne Field to wherever it is you're trying to go. If you're trying to go to Washington, D.C., you're not going to be able to do it at Payne Field. But if we can get enough people, hundreds of people at a time, to get out of SeaTac to make the lines go just a little bit faster and instead go to Everett, that's good news all around. And, of course, right now, Payne Field can very easily handle all of the people who are showing up. They've already had, according to Alaska Airlines, and this is just from Alaska, 300,000 guests flying from Payne Field to one of their locations, one of their destinations, as of late July. That's good. Get them out of SeaTac. mostly because I usually go to SeaTac for where I fly. I can't go to Everett.
I don't know. Get Payne Field some better food options, and I'll choose them over SeaTac.
Well, you know, pack a bag lunch, dude.
No, you're paying for the experience at SeaTac. You're waiting in two-hour-long security lines for the experience beyond security.
Oh, of course. 1-800-465-8777 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter, go behind the scenes of the show, have some conversations about all the topics, and of course, get lucky and let me like and retweet your stuff. And maybe, just maybe, I'll follow you back. Go to twitter.com/JasonRantz, JasonRantz. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the campaign trail?
State Senator Hans Zeiger is leaving Olympia to focus on the Pierce County Council. He's actually going to run to replace Pam Roach's seat in District Number 2. Roach announcing earlier this week that she wasn't going to run for re-election. So who exactly is going to fight to fill the senator seat? Well, it turns out we've got an answer. State Representative Chris Gildon, he is a Republican from Puyallup. He's the assistant ranking member to a couple of committees, including Housing, Community Development, and Veterans. And he is a 23-year veteran Army officer. Representative Gildon joins me now. Sir, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So you're giving up a seat in the House because you want to run in the Senate. Take us through your decision.
Oh, boy. Well, it came really quickly, actually, because Councilmember Roach, she decided that she was going to be retiring, and then that left the void when Senator Zeiger decided to move to the Senate. And so we just huddled up, and we decided that that we needed to save that seat, and I stepped up to do so.
And it's an incredibly important seat for the Republicans in the Senate, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The 25th district is just basically the heart of Pierce County from my perspective. And it's always been kind of leaning to the Republican side, but I think we still consider it a swing district.
How has that changed over the course of the last few years? Because it does seem like the sort of the demographics, ideologically speaking, are leaning more towards the left than it has in the past.
It's interesting. I think there was not a Republican senator in the 25th since, I think, the 1920s, not until Bruce Dammeyer won that seat I think that was in 2008. I forget exactly when. But and then Hans Zeiger moved into the House, and then we had Melanie Stambaugh move into the House. And that was the first time when Representative Stambaugh was elected that we had all three seats were Republican in the 25th, and we've managed to hold on to them ever since.
Well, and you've made a point in your work as a state representative to sort of focus on keeping bad Seattle policies from spreading all across the region. So how difficult has that been with Democrats in charge in Olympia this last legislative session?
Well, you know, the Republicans, we're in a deep minority in Olympia in both the House and the Senate, and then there's a Democrat in the governor's seat. So that makes it pretty difficult. They can do pretty much whatever they want. And I think you saw that this year with all of the tax increases that we had, despite having a budgetary surplus. It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen this next session with the change of leadership with Speaker Chop stepping aside. And then we have the new Speaker Designate Jenkins.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? Because I know that it seems like Democrats are sort of waiting to pursue an income tax.
Well, and I think so. And if you've seen some recent TVW interviews, you see that Representative Jenkins is she's not shying away from that. She's not taking that off the table right now. So I think you may see a fight for capital gains income tax and an income tax this upcoming session.
So what are some of the policies of Seattle and really of a far left progressive agenda that you fear beyond the income tax is legitimately going to spread to a Puyallup or to the Pierce County General region?
You know, when I first came up here, I'm originally from Texas, and I came up here in 1989 as a young private. And I fell in love with the place because where I grew up in Texas was just a desert, and I had to drive 3 hours to get to a lake. So I came up here as a young 18-year-old, and And I just saw the mountains and the rivers and the streams, and it was so beautiful. And I remember how pristine and clean Seattle was at that time. I even called my mother one time. So over the course of 23 years, I was able to spend 12 years right here at Fort Lewis, now JBLM. And I came back from time to time. So every time I would come back, you'd see the little changes, little incremental changes. And, you know, back in 1989, we didn't see the homeless problems that we have now. We didn't see the drug needles in the streets. We didn't see the trash along our riverbanks. But that's what we have now. And that's a lot of what we got to fight back against. But I'll caution people to talk about trying to solve the homeless problem, because I think we need to get to the root cause of the issues, right? And I consider homelessness an outcome of a number of different root cause issues, such as drug addiction, such as the governor's broken mental health care system, our lack of capacity to care for the mentally ill, such as the high cost of living. You know, and that's one of the things that I really focus in on, is the root cause issues. You know, in the military, I had a number of times where I was called upon to solve really difficult problems. And the first step in the problem-solving process is always to clearly identify the problem you're trying to solve. So don't focus on solving an outcome. Focus on solving the problem.
And that's basically what you've been known for on the state representative side. So I'm glad that you're stepping up, trying to win this position in the state Senate. Again, it's incredibly important for folks out there who live in the district. You're going to need to vote on this one. This is going to be incredibly important to make sure that Republicans don't lose the little power that we have right now by giving away this district to the Democratic Party. If you want to learn more about this particular campaign, go to chrisgildon.com. It's all one word. He's running for the state Senate position that was previously held, or currently held, by Hans Zeiger, who's making the move to the Pierce County Council, hopefully in 2020. Chris, thank you so much for stopping by. I really, really appreciate it. We wish you the absolute best of luck, and I'm certain we'll be talking again in the coming months.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
So Congressman Steve King, the Republican from Iowa, he is a blight on our party. And the sooner we can get away from him, the better we all are. He should not be used to define this party, because not only is he a bigot, he's also an idiot. And I suppose both of them go hand in hand. He made such an earth-shatteringly stupid comment today. So dumb. And it was so unnecessary, because he was talking about abortion. And he was talking about legislation. And, you know, when you're talking about cases of rape or incest and abortion, and whether or not you're pro-life or pro-choice in a situation like that, he is, of course, pro-life. You can have a nuanced conversation that's at least respectful. But it turned out Steve King decided to use this to ponder whether or not rape and incest actually help build the population.
What if it was okay? And what if we went back through all the family trees and just pulled those people out that were products of rape and incest? Would there be any population of the world left if we did that? Considering all the wars and all the rape and pillage that's taken place and whatever happened in culture after society, I know I can't certify that they're not part of a product of that.
Oh my God. Okay, so number one, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. You're an idiot for vocalizing that stupid thought. You're an idiot for thinking that that was a well-thought-out position. Does he seem to think that we grew our population exclusively via rape and incest? Is that what he actually believes? Why would he say that? That's what I don't understand. Why would he say that? Other than to point out that he is just not a bright person. It is incredibly offensive. It is incredibly inartful how he did it. And every moment he is in office, he is being used by the left and the media that does all the bidding for the Democratic Party to make us look bad. What we should all do in one very singular voice, call this dude out. He is not running unopposed on the Republican side. There is someone who is running who would be much better in this position than Steve King. Steve King is not good for this party. 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. 465-8770. If you want to send me a text on the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. It means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller Smiles by Design. The concept of the Big Local, very simple. The media is hyper-focused on the city of Seattle, and they end up ignoring you. So we do the opposite. We focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most, and we completely ignore Seattle. And we start in Bothell, where Yakima Fruit Market is the latest business at risk of being completely plowed under for our expanding mass transit system from Sound Transit, a project that a whole bunch of dopey voters decide to approve of when they pass ST3.
My family and I are begging you to help our market remain.
So a lot of people showed up last night at a Sound Transit hearing begging them to spare this business that's been there for about 80 years. Some people, however, as much as I support this business and I can't stand Sound Transit, I will say some of the people will cray cray.
It is the most special place, and without it, I feel like we would really lose that sense of community that we have.
You will not lose the sense of community that you have if this business is not there. I want the business to stay. I support this family. I think what Sound Transit does is plow over important parts of communities without properly consulting anybody. They don't care what you think. But you're going a little bit overboard and pretending that all of a sudden the entire Bothell community will be torn to shreds as a result of this. It is not. Let's not cry like this in public. Oh, you're going to cry, aren't you?
It's the place where this community gathers to reconnect with one another.
Okay, it's a fruit market, lady. God bless your passion. It's a fruit market. Again, don't want it to go. But have you ever cried like that and got that emotional, Producer Tom, over just a business in your community? Is there anything in Auburn that's gone by the wayside or Federal Way that's gone away that you're all like, oh my gosh? That's crazy.
Yeah, no, I can't think.
That's not a reasonable reaction to this news. Love the passion, I guess. And again, don't take any of what I'm saying here critical of the business. I want the business to stay. I'm also not going to pretend that it's what keeps the community together. It's you're buying bananas and apples.
There was like this little restaurant that went away. I was pretty disappointed.
Is that why you were crying the other day?
Yeah, that's why.
Just thinking about it?
I know it happened, 15 years ago, but still, to this day.
You can get triggered. We were talking about Thai food, and all of a sudden, you just broke down.
Yeah, it just happened.
Just everyone relax. It doesn't seem like Sound Transit seems to care. Here's John Gallagher.
We understand that the Yakima Fruit Market is an icon in Bothell. It's important for us to have those conversations with the property owners so we can understand what the impacts may be to their business and how we can minimize those.
I don't know how you minimize this impact because you literally would have to tear it down. How do you minimize that? You tear a little piece of it down? They don't care. And we saw what happened in Kent. Right when Sound Transit was going to go after the Dick's Drive-In that just had opened, the Lowe's, the Starbucks, this area that a lot of folks in the Kent city government wanted to develop into this multi-use area. So they don't care. But that should show you that you can get together and fight back. None of these decisions have to happen if the community is truly engaged and if the community is caring as deeply as Cairo 7 TV seems to indicate in their story that they aired last night where we pulled this audio. Like, you're going to win this, but you have to stay involved. You have to stay as active as this. And yeah, I suppose you can cry a little bit like this woman, but it's just a little too much.
Where this community gathers to reconnect with one another.
Okay. No more pulling audio from this woman because she's going to make me want to tear down the Yakima Fruit Market myself. That's just not a normal reaction.
Have some empathy, man.
No, I'm not. Where else will we get our apples? These apples are what keep us together. I remember this one day I went down to the Yakima Fruit Market And I bought these cherries. And then I went home and I ate the cherries. Where will I get my cherries? At the QFC. It's like a few blocks away. Oh, okay. Just a little relax. Right? Come on. Just cry.
Those apples mean a lot to us.
Why do people cry in public? Just stop that. No one wants to be uncomfortable because of your tears.
You cried when you stubbed your toe the other day.
Okay, but that hurt.
I mean, not, you know.
I cry on a dime. I go to movies and I just cry. What movie did I see last night? I just broke down and cried.
Marley and Me?
You think Marley and Me is in the movies? In movie theaters.
You never said you were at a movie theater. You said, what movie did I see last night?
Okay, I went out. I didn't cry. A driver was contacted by State Patrol near SeaTac after he was found playing Pokemon Go on, let's count all the phones in which he was playing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You said 8 phones, really? This happened last night. The driver had already pulled over onto the shoulder of the freeway, and he was playing these games, and a Washington State Patrol officer noticed this, pulled over behind the car, is like, what's up with that? And he looks into the car and he sees literally 8 individual phones with Pokemon Go on them, and the guy was just hanging out playing Pokemon Go and trying to catch Pokemon, I guess. That's also not a reasonable thing to do. You're not supposed to be parked in that shoulder area. That's for emergencies only, not so you can catch Pikachu or whatever the other stupid things are. You're an adult. Let's act like one. Let's not cry over apples and cherries. And let's not play on 8 phones Pokemon Go when you're not a 12-year-old boy. Just throwing that out there.
Okay, Jason, I literally saw you watching The Bachelor on one phone, live tweeting it on another phone, and ordering Uber Eats on the other phone. Maybe you should hold off judgment.
It was Bachelor in Paradise, and it was 2-hour episodes, and you get hungry sometimes. I don't want to miss it.
Thank you.
I timed it perfectly so I can get my tacos the second that they go to a commercial. I run downstairs, and I grab the food, and then I'm out.
I think you have more phones than you need.
Well, you're judgmental. Finally, 2 teen girls caused a whole ton of damage at Bellingham Christian School. It's a private school. So much damage, they ended up delaying the school year for at least a week. It cost them, or will cost them, $250,000 to take care of. According to the Bellingham Herald, many of the school's supplies, equipment, electronics, computers that were being stored in the gym during the summer renovation project were impacted by the gym getting robbed. And so this wasn't just like some pranks. This was also a robbery, although it seems more like an actual prank than not. They say the suspects ripped down plywood so they could enter the gym. And once inside, they sprayed fire extinguishers throughout the interior, damaging the computers and other equipment being stored there. The suspects also reportedly marked the walls with curse words. They put like butt or something worse on the walls, and they said sexually offensive references and drawings. And then they sprayed, this is weird, they sprayed ketchup, mustard, and other condiments on the floors at the adjacent kit. So they just went and got condiments.
It's just a prank, bro. It's just a prank.
The refrigerator door was also left open, so that's like a lot of spoiled milk. They said the suspects stole several compound bows used for archery worth $2,500. And they continue by saying most of the extensive damage was caused by the fire extinguisher chemicals contaminating the walls, ceiling tiles, air ventilation system, and the electronics. Now, I want to say one thing. This story makes me pleased in one regard. You would assume that this was done by precocious young boys. It was not. It was done by 14 and 15-year-old girls. And it's a good reminder that girls can be just as bad as boys. And we always assume, we talk about all the, you know, the sexism involved, and there's some sexism against the boys. Everyone thinks boys do these things, but sometimes the girls do it. Now, granted, I don't see that many stories of girls doing this, but, you know, good for them. They did this to break the gender stereotype. They didn't do this with any nefarious intent towards the school, even though it cost $250,000 worth of damage. They did this to break away from how gendered these stories generally are. So they're heroes.
Modern feminist movement is getting intense.
This is feminism. And I'm a feminist. And so I, for one, back these young girls. They did what was necessary to help save boys from always being blamed for these issues. They're heroes.
And they can buy their own drinks.
Although they stole those too. And then they left the fridge open.
So they can't buy their own drinks.
I mean, they could probably if they sell those bows, the compound bows that they stole allegedly for $2,500 or so. But you're not going to really, that's what they're worth. You're not going to get face value off of stolen goods. So they'll probably get like, what, $100 a piece for them? You go to a pawn shop or something in Bellingham?
Yeah, I'm tired of people saying just boys are stupid.
Yeah, girls can be just as stupid and inconsiderate as boys. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. Thank you so much for following me on Instagram. Oh, you don't follow me on Instagram? Well, shame on you. Open up that Instagram app. Add the screen name Jason Rants, J-S-O-N-R-A-N-T-Z. We've been doing a lot of interactive stuff, videos and polls and quizzes on the Instagram feed. I think it's a lot of fun because it's all about me. And normally, and producer Tom will back me up on this, I don't normally talk about myself. I'm one of those people who kind of, I like to keep things private. I don't like to brag about anything. I'm just not that kind of person. But I don't know. Lately, I've been opening up a little bit more about my life and my views and my everything on Instagram. But, I don't like to talk about myself all that much. So
no, rarely ever.
It almost never happens.
In fact, it's not about to happen right now.
It's not. I mean, I could talk about how brilliant I am and intelligent and smart and all other synonyms for the same exact word, but I'm not going to do that. But you can follow me on Instagram under Jason Rants. There's a new national poll out from The Economist that a lot of folks are making a big deal about because it shows Elizabeth Warren in a near tie, statistical tie at least, with Joe Biden. And, you know, you can pay attention to it. It's important, but it's an outlier poll. It is giving some hope to her campaign because she was not seen as a top contender. It used to be Biden and then Bernie Sanders and then at some point Elizabeth Warren, then Harris. Right now it shows Warren at 20 percentage points. She got a 4-point bump since the last time they did this poll a few weeks ago when Biden saw a 1-point drop. He's at 21 to Warren's 20. Then Sanders comes in at number 3 and a distant number 4 and number 5 are both Kamala Harris and Beto O'Rourke. If you're wondering where Jay Inslee is, I don't know. It literally stops at 0% and his name wasn't listed, so it's sub-zero. He might actually have negative points at this junction of his campaign. So he's going to announce soon that he's out. National polls right now are generally useless when at least we're talking about nominations. Because the nominations are chosen by wins on a state-by-state basis with the caucus and the primary system. The question for a lot of these people, including Elizabeth Warren, is based upon the national polls, how long can you stay in the race losing these primaries before you pick up a win and then gain the ultimate momentum to the nomination? And the fact of the matter is, it's very, very difficult because all of a sudden she's got this national poll that shows her coming in at number 2. So let's say they go to Iowa and she comes in at number 3 behind Biden and Sanders. Well, all the attention and the momentum are going to be on Biden and Sanders. Now, unless Elizabeth Warren then goes into New Hampshire and overperforms, wins, or comes in at number 2, well, she's not going to gain any sort of momentum. So it doesn't matter what a national poll says because the national poll is dictated by the national media and the media narrative at that point will be, oh, man, I don't know if Elizabeth Warren can do it. She came in yet again, number 3. It's still all Biden. It's still all Bernie Sanders. So for the most part, this is not really all that meaningful unless she decides to do what Stacey Abrams is doing. Stacey Abrams, of course, is an insane person who ran for governor in Georgia. She lost and she doesn't want to concede. So she's created this narrative in which there was widespread voter suppression that if not for all the people who weren't allowed to vote, she would be the governor. And so now she's going on this tear of maintaining a stable voting system in 2020. She's going to be the one who's going to police the system to make sure what happened to her in her own head won't happen to anybody else. She's created a career out of being a sore loser. And that career is being aided by folks over at MSNBC and CNN and the New York Times and all these media outlets that hate the fact that she lost in Georgia. They wanted her to win so badly. They like the symbolism of being able to turn Georgia blue. And then on top of that, you have, in this case, an African-American female, the future of the party, young, energetic. She's the face of the party, and she lost. Well, now, as she's taking on this new role to fight voter suppression, she goes on MSNBC, and she forwards an incredible conspiracy.
They just lifted a consent decree that's kept Republicans and the RNC from going into local communities and intimidating voters by having off-duty officers tell people that they're monitoring their votes.
Huh?
For the first time since 1981, the RNC will be allowed to cheat and lie and go into polling places and scare voters.
So just on the surface, does that make sense to you? What she just said? They just changed the rule to say, oh, hey, GOP, before you weren't able to cheat and lie, but now you can. There's no truth whatsoever to this claim.
Particularly voters of color. Fair Fight 2020 is designed to anticipate all of those challenges, but not just worry about them, work against them. And that's what we learned from 2018. We cannot wait for the cavalry to come. We have to be the army, and we have to stand up now.
Oh, they're going to be an army to fight the voter suppression that isn't actually happening. If whenever a Republican wins, it's either because of some kind of voter suppression or some other kind of cheating. They hacked into the voter rolls. They decided to stuff ballots. They did all this nonsense. Why do Republicans ever lose elections? I've never gotten a satisfactory answer. If the only way Republicans win, is it possible we can cheat our way and get the Senate back? I don't know who dropped the ball on the cheating that time, because we just lost the Senate in the last election. I'd like that back. Or excuse me, the House. I'd like that back. Can someone just give me not just the House, but the Senate? Give me another Republican in the White House. Let's never lose elections. If we're going to cheat so openly like Stacey Abrams pretends we are, can we just win literally every single... Can we please get a governor in Washington State who's a Republican? It's the Jason Rance Show.